Hey there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now let's prepare our hearts to hear the Word of God together.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Wasn't that great to see all the seniors up here? Yeah, that's so good. Well, as Titus mentioned, we are starting a series this morning that has the title, Was That in the Bible? So really, the purpose of it is to look at some of the more obscure passages in the Bible and yet really just extract some real nuggets of truth that God has for us. And I truly believe that that is the case with the story this morning. It's in the book of Numbers. If you remember, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fourth book in the Bible. We're going to be there. You can actually turn to those book in the Bible. But I realize that some of these stories are a little bit obscure that we're going to tackle. But I really believe there's profound truth in them. Okay. And in Balaam's story with his donkey, there's real profound truth. You know what it is? Wait for it. When God says no, he means no, right? Now, there's more to it, but I really want you to be thinking about that as you listen to even the text. And I also want to say that, you know, there are things that are kind of normative with God in terms of how he speaks. He's not a God in a box, in a formula by any means. But also, I don't want you to take texts like this and cherry pick them to the point where you go home and you expect your dog to speak to you. Now, like my dog speaks to me all the time, but not in this way here, right? So let's keep this within the lanes that God has intended. But if you remember contextually, the book of Numbers is really, it's a 38-year period of time when the Israelites, remember Moses was raised up as their leader. God demonstrated his power through him, delivered them out of Egypt, where they went to Mount Sinai. And at the base of Mount Sinai, Moses went up, received the law, instructions for the tabernacle, all this stuff that was designed to govern how they lived their lives. And as, if we know the story well, they really didn't handle it super well. And God was not pleased with them, and they ended up spending basically 40 years in the desert until that generation actually died off that was rebellious. And then God, through the leadership of Joshua, leads them to enter the promised land. And so this text is right when they're at the doorstep, if you will. I actually have a slide. I can show you this if you want to put that up real quick. So Egypt, down to Mount Sinai, up to Kadesh, then down, and then Joshua leads them up to the plains of Moab, which is interesting. This is actually where the contemporary Golan Heights are now, and there's much of a noise about things that have happened here. But if you remember in the text, actually it's in verse 21, chapter 21, God has the Israelites go around Edom and then actually go through Moab, but approach the king and the king and basically say, we're not going to take anything of yours. We just want to pass through your land. Well, the king by the name of Balak gets really nervous, and he's actually very fearful. And so, and the reason why he's fearful is because as the Israelites had gone through there, some people came against him, like the Amorites and Sheon, the king of Sheon, Og, and God spanked him because they got in God's way. So that's kind of the framework for this text. But if you think about this text, there's three distinct characters in this text. There's the king of Moab, who is Balak. Then there is Balaam, who is this kind of weird prophet in the Bible. And then there is Balaam's donkey, right? So we're going to kind of touch on all three of those as we move through this. But just a little bit on Balak, the king of Moab. As I showed you, it's kind of on the east side where he ruled and reigned, and that he was fear driven. And I guess the question for me, even at the onset of this study here, if you will, is I think each of us can understand that fear can drive us to make poor decisions. Anybody in here made poor decisions from fear, right? Well, King Balak is no different than that. And he actually summons or requests this prophet, Balaam, to come and call down curses prophetically on the nation of Israel. So he's like, these people are no good. I don't want them in my backyard, and I'm going to do something about it. And out of fear, he reaches out to Balaam. And so here's the request in Numbers 22, starting in verse 4. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "This horde," meaning the Israelites, "is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at the time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the Euphrates River. Okay? There's a whole bunch right there, but take it at face value. Near the Euphrates River in his native land, which was really like northern Syria, if you want to picture that in your mind. So he's like 400 miles away from what we know today to be the Golan Heights. So he's up there in Syria. And Balak said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me." I mean, there's literally between like 1.5 to 2 million people here. I mean, it's hard to gauge because of women and children. But if you can imagine a couple of million people rolling up into your backyard, things would be a little interesting, right? Verse 6, "Now come," he's now summoning Balaam to do this. "Now come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed and whoever you curse is cursed." So Balak has some idea about this reputation of this guy, Balaam. So let's look at who Balaam is for a minute, because he's really an interesting figure in the Bible. But he's not an Israelite, and he's not a prophet of the God of Israel, okay? And so we don't know where he came about being called a prophet and a diviner and someone who had spiritual insight. But even in the Aramaic writings, you can find this guy, and he's known all over the region. So there's something about him and what God has done through this guy. And Balak totally understands this and his reputation. And so if we look at verse 7 in Numbers 22, let's follow along with the story. "The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them a fee for divination." So this guy Balaam is kind of like this prophet for hire here, right? Very much representing God's heart, right? "And when they came to Balaam, they told him that Balak had said, 'Spend the night here.' Balaam said to them, 'And I will report back to you with the answer the Lord gives me.' So the Moabite official stayed with him." So in other words, Balaam tells Balak's clan, his group, these princes and so on, to hang out while he goes and seeks the Lord's will. So here's God's instruction to Balaam. Verse 9 through 11 is Balaam goes before God and makes his case as to why he wants to call down curses on Israel. Verse 12 of Numbers 22, "But God said to Balaam, 'Do not go with them.'" Is there any confusion in that? Pretty clear. "You must not put a curse on these people." God spells it out clearly, right? "Because they are blessed." And I don't know if you guys remember, but there is a theme when it comes to the Israelites that goes all the way back to the Abrahamic covenant. It goes back to Genesis 12. You remember in verse 3 where God says to Abraham, I will bless you. I will bless your name. I will bless your people so that you become a blessing to others. Okay, God didn't make the Israelites his chosen people for a pass in life. Do you realize that there is great responsibility with blessing? When God pours out his blessings on us, we have a responsibility to recognize it, acknowledge it, praise him for it, thank him for it, and then bless others by it. That's God's heart, so that those that we're in relationship with, just like the neighbors of the Israelites, will see and experience the goodness of God. It's powerful. God's plan is powerful. And Balaam does not understand God. I mean, he is kind of like this traveling Tony Robbins guy. And, you know, he dances around some truth, but he doesn't know God. And Balaam is the same way. You know, he's a prophet for hire, and Balak is ready to pay him for it. It's crazy, crazy. Balaam, in verse 13, tells Balak's delegation, no, I can't go, because God said no. So far, so good, right, for Balaam. But then in verse 15, notice, let me find 15 here. I don't think it's in your notes, but I want to read it really quick. 15, once again, Balak sent princes more in number and more honorable than these, and they came to Balaam and said, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming here. I'm jumping into the text that I have right here. Let me read that again. Numbers 22, you've got it in your notes, verse 16. They came to Balaam and said, this is what Balak, the son of Zippor, says, do not let anything keep you from coming to me. Can you hear the dollar bills going out? Right? Verse 17, because I will reward you handsomely and do whatever you say. Come and put a curse on these people for me. But Balaam answered, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, wink, wink, suggestion, maybe that's what it would take, I could do nothing against anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God. Now, he's playing this pious game, but the motives of his heart are revealed in this next verse, verse 19. Now spend the night here so that I can find out what else the Lord will tell me. Do you see what's going on here? A little bit of manipulation, like I want to have my cake and I want to eat it too. There's things that I want, even though I've heard no from God, and yet I've already made my mind up that that's what I want. Anybody in here do that before? Just a couple of you, right? God's word is a mirror to reveal where we are, right? And this is not just a little flannel graph kitty story about a talking donkey. It's about a God who is serious about us hearing his will and following what he's commanded us to do. And in this case, he's very serious that when he says no, he means no. Balaam's heart is revealed in this text. You know, and this is the part in verse 19, you know when you're tempted and God says no, and then you're in this wrestling match, and then you kind of put it aside, but you leave the door open a little bit, and God's still saying no. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And if you don't close that door, then it's very Satan-esque for the devil to come back through that door with even more temptation. You guys get that, right? You've all experienced that. That's exactly what's going on here. It came back stronger than it was before. Notice God's response in verse 20. That night, God came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. Now, pump the brakes for a minute here. God did not change his mind here, What the text really means in this is when God first in verse 12 came to him, he's saying, don't go physically, don't go mentally, don't exercise the desires of King Balaam and call down curses, okay? Now he's saying, this is what God's saying to Balaam, because in your mind and your heart, you've already made the decision to go, I'm a merciful God who respects free will, I'm gonna let you go. If you does any parent in here like experience this with a teenager? Like, don't do it. But their mind is already set on doing it. Like, what do you do with that? Right? We've all been there. We've done it ourselves. So God says, well, if you've made up your mind to go, at least when you go, don't speak down curses. I've already spoken to you about this. Number one, I want you to grasp this. God did not change his mind. Go back to Genesis 12:3. It's been God's heart through the Abrahamic covenant. This was God's will for his people to enter the promised land. There is no change in God's mind about this, okay? Number two, God lets you use your free will to disobey. Did you hear that? He lets you use your free will. Anybody exercise your free will to go the wrong direction in here? Once, maybe? Yeah. Third, God does not like our disobedience. We're going to see that in verse 22. And God will go to great lengths so that you can hear him. Yes, even through a talking donkey. So Numbers 22, 22. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in its hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyard with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it, so he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. Just stop for a minute right there. Can you see the mercy of God here? Narrowing the pathway. Have you ever been, have you felt the merciful jaws of grace and mercy of God as he squeezes your life because you're going the wrong direction? Have you ever felt that? You know deep in your heart what you're pursuing is not the Lord's will. And yet you're still holding out because there's something you desire, and God, because he loves you and he's good, knows that's not best for you. And to some, it gets pretty extreme where he narrows our pathway down until we tap out, right? Anybody in here had to tap out? Yeah, yeah. Verse 27, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with a staff. Listen to 28. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Listen to 29. Balaam answered the donkey. Now, think about that for a minute. He's so wound around the axle. He's so wound up, he doesn't even see what's going on. His donkey is talking to him. You know what's fascinating about this? God speaks through the donkey within the framework of how donkeys are made. Do you realize that donkeys are highly intelligent and they have great memory? And so when you look at this, it's like, even he says, "What?" We read on here. He goes, what have I done? I've been faithful to you, is what the donkey's saying to him. Balaam is so wound up, he answers the donkey. Here's his response. You made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. Really? So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? See that? Just straight up truth. No, he said, he answers again. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed and fell face down. I want you to listen to this for a minute, okay? Balaam, spiritually, no discernment whatsoever, right? He is not getting what God is really putting down, right? It's fascinating to me that when the Lord opens the donkey's eyes, the discernment is on the donkey. You know, if you want to call me a donkey, if you get the drift, because I'm discerning and I really want to hear the voice of God, then please call me a donkey, right? Because right now, God is very, very clear. Who's the one holding the sword in this story? It's the angel of the Lord. It isn't Balaam who's making this nonsense about if I had a sword, I would do you in. Listen to what God says here. It's fascinating. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." Are you on a reckless path? Are you? And the Lord is saying, no, no, no. And you are saying, yes, yes, yes. And you're steering around, you're manipulating things. Like, we all are tempted to do this because we don't like to hear no. Does anybody here like to hear no? The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. This is the Lord speaking through the angel. It's a theophany. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it. Did you hear that? Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, boy, he's on a roll right here. Listen to this. I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Do you think that's ownership right there? I mean, think about it. He's not owning his disobedience because the Lord closed the door to this. He's saying, I've sinned because I didn't see you there. Whew. That scares me that we have the ability to justify our actions to that level. But we do. Now, if you are displeased, really? Do you think by this point you'd get an idea that God was displeased? He sends an angel, and then your donkey starts talking to you? Porch lights on, but nobody's home. Now, if you're displeased, I'll go back. Really? He'd already made up his mind. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men. I could just hear it. Just go. You want to go? Go. Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you. So Balaam went with Balak's officials. You know, God can speak to us any which way he wants. He can. I truly believe it. He spoke through the donkey, right? He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19 with a gentle whisper. He spoke through the rooster who crowed three times to Peter, right? God can do that. Again, this is not a normative. And like I said at the beginning, I'm not going to go home and ask my Labrador gunner to give me pearls of wisdom, right? I'm just not going to do that. But it's important that we realize that God desires and will go to great lengths for us to hear him. Are you in a place where you can hear God this morning? You may be in here going, I don't even know how to hear God. Legit, I get that. We're going to talk about that in just a second. How can hearing no from God actually be good in our lives? Number one, it's good when we grow our faith by trusting the wisdom of God and not our own agenda, right? It's good when God says no and our faith grows because we have to trust him. Listen to Proverbs 2 for a minute, starting in verse 1. I want you to hear this text. It's really a solid text for hearing God and pursuing the wisdom of God. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, in other words, you got to listen, and applying your heart to understanding what I hear, I got to do something with it, right? Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Okay? That's not like, oh, God. It's like, God, I really need you, right? Okay, listen to four. And if you look for it, speaking about wisdom, as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure. Do you realize the Silver Valley is full of tunnels that took a bunch of work to mine out silver? It is not easy. And God is saying in through this text is, don't mail it in, people. I am a God who speaks, and you can hear, but you've got to turn your frequency to my frequency. Unlike Balaam, who had his agenda already marked out because he's seeing dollar signs and his balance sheet, and he's going to get more wealthy. Completely, completely different paradigm than what God has. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear or the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So he speaks it. Listen to verse 7. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Now, he's not saying that your walk is perfect and you've got to be perfect to hear from God, because none of us would hear from God if that were the case. But those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have been justified through the cross, stand rightly before God, where we can approach his throne of grace and hear from him. Not flippantly, but truly out of reverence is what the scripture says. Second thing, it is good to hear no when God produces humility in us and a dependence on him. It's the exact opposite of Balaam. 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves. In other words, put yourselves under the authority. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You know, that in due time is kind of hard. You know why, right? Because that's on God's time and not mine. And I'm always tempted to fabricate when I'm, come on, God, we got to go, right? Anybody in here? Submitting to God's plans and purposes requires a dependence. You know what? I was thinking about this. I go back in my mind and think about all of the things that God has said no to me in my life that thank you, Lord. God has given me the strength to respond and be obedient to his no's. And I can go back and look at all these mistakes that I would have gotten into and the pain that it would have cost. Can you see that in your own life? Relationships, finances. I mean, you can go to this list, could be a mile long of things that God's like, whoa, slow down, Jack. Just slow down a little bit, right? I've got something better for you. It's good. It's good to hear no when it aligns us with the will of God. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has the full picture. We don't. I wanted to share this with you, just a brief story. My wife and I, Christy, years and years ago, we've adopted our children. But our first adoption attempt was less than successful. I'll never forget it. So we were working through an agency. We lived in Dalton Gardens at the time. And there was a woman down in San Diego that was offering her baby. She was pregnant. She was offering her baby up for adoption. So we started down the process. We would write her. We would say, I think we had emails back then. Maybe not. I don't know. That was a long time ago. So we were in this communication with her, and we were actually giving her money. That was part of the process, and we were helping her financially. And I'll never forget it, but I remember one day God saying to me, Jim, this isn't going to work. No, There's something, this is not going to work. God didn't reveal the whole picture. And you know what? I really, really wrestled with it because we dished out a few thousand dollars by this point. You ever had to walk away with money on the table because God said no? You know what? It's worth it. You know what I found out? So when we said no to this gal, you know what her response was? Well, I wasn't going to give you the child anyway. She was using the money to help her. And there's other issues with that story that are just mind-blowing. But God is so good that he's willing to say no. And sometimes walking away once we're in something is really hard when there's a lot of skin in the game. I don't know where you are with this, but it's good. It's also good when we hear no, when we receive discipline from God. You know, we live in a culture that hates discipline. You realize that, right? Hebrews 12:10 says this, "They," meaning our earthly parents, "disciplined us for a while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for what? Our good." Let me hear that. For our good, right? "In order that we may share in his holiness." No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Can I get an amen there? Right? It doesn't feel good. But listen, but painful later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, I was thinking about this. So I was raised in a home with a Marine as a father. I've told you guys this before. And so before I went into boot camp, I already knew what boot camp was about. I did. Like, being raised by a Marine, you kind of learn discipline. You guys get what I mean, right? So when I went to boot camp, we had a company of about 90 young men in there. And within 2 weeks, we were down to 68 guys. And I had a guy first service come up to me and he goes, "That's the same ratio that I experienced," which is uncanny. You know why? Because there's a bunch of people that have not been disciplined, number one, through the model that God gives us and the responsibility as parents. But we got a soft generation. And these guys are tapping out and punching out over silly stuff. And you know what? I don't regret that discipline today. It's formed and shaped me. You guys, discipline is good. Hearing no is good. Parents, if you can't say no to your kids, come up and receive prayer. Get into the Word of God. No is an important part of life. Now, how you do it matters, but no is no. When God says no to us, he means it for our good. And parents, when you say no, it's for the good of your kids. Let's raise up a generation that aren't soft. Balaam finally heard God and ultimately did what, if you finish the rest of the story in Numbers 22, I encourage you to read it. It's good. So there's three oracles basically where Balaam is following him around. He's chasing the money, and Balak takes him to these places, and literally Balaam tries to speak curse against Israel, and he cannot. All he can speak is blessing. Why? Because God's got the steering wheel here. All he can do is speak blessing. Why? It's God's will. That's why. God's will's not going to be thwarted, as smart and as creative as we think we are. You think you can outsmart God in here? No. None of us can. And out of his mercy, severe mercy, he will oppose our rash, stupid, and even at times perverted ways of trying to get our way. And he's like, "You guys, I'm a good God, and I have what's best for you. Will you just trust me?" I mean, that's what he's saying to us through this message. Will you trust me? You know, I recognize that you may be in here today, and you've heard a hard no from God. And I'm not saying that hearing no is easy. Believe me, it's not, okay? You may even be hearing a no, and you've been through medical treatment, and the trajectory of your life is going one direction that you don't like. I get it. I don't have simple answers for that. I don't, you guys. Sometimes no is a journey that is really, really hard. And I'm not here trying to tell you it's easy. But I know this. As long as we stay close to the Lord, it will be good. Whether it's because we go home to be with the Lord for eternity, or we've got more miles than the odometer here on planet Earth. You guys okay? Because here's what I would say. If you're not a Christian in here today, if you've not humbled yourself and received Christ as Lord, like truly received him in your heart, this message is for you. Because I'm pretty certain that you're hearing no with something in your life right now, and you don't know what to do with that. God does if you trust him. And so if you're here and you're just, you got all kinds of questions and doubts, fears, you're not certain, please, please come talk to someone and just receive prayer. Open up your heart to what the Lord wants to help you navigate. And maybe there's something in this story right now you've just been pushing hard against God on, and he's just saying, trust me, surrender. Put yourself under my mighty hand. I will give you rest. I will give you hope. I will take your fears and I will turn them into peace and joy if you let them. There's no magic pill. It's not simple. That's why we need each other. Do you realize that? We need each other. You know, the way God speaks to us is through his word, through his expressed will, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in relationship with other Christians that help us stay here and not like here and stuck and up there and all around. That's the body of Christ. It's the word of God. It's our abiding time. That's what the Lord's calling us to do. That's how we hear his voice. That's how we hear it.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the Real Life app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.